Hey there, Orioles fans. Today is Tuesday, May 24th, 2022, and welcome back in to the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Connor Newcomb, and coming up on today's episode, we recap another Orioles victory as the O's take down the Yankees 6-4 in game one of a three-game set. O's have now won four out of their last five games. We'll talk a lot about Jordan Lyles, the gutsy performance he put out there to out-duel Gerrit Cole at Yankee Stadium on Monday night. Then, we'll dive into the roster moves the Orioles made before Monday's game. They made a bunch of them, calling up three players, sending down two players, and putting one on the injury list, because frankly, the O's needed some pitchers, needed some fresh arms, and they were able to do that with the roster moves. We'll break out who was added and who was removed from the roster before the game on Monday. But that's all coming up on this episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast.
You are Locked On Orioles, your daily Baltimore Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So we get to a big Orioles win in the Bronx at Yankee Stadium in just a second. But first, just want to thank you for making Locked On Orioles your first podcast listen of the day. Locked On Orioles, free and available on all podcast listening platforms. Remember, we're the only O's daily podcast out there, Monday through Friday, bringing you a new episode every morning, every day of the week, talking all things Orioles, covering the major and the minor league team and everything around. If you're liking the podcast, make sure to leave a five-star rating and a review on Apple Pods or Spotify or wherever you listen. And, you know, make sure to tell a friend, tell your family, tell your coworkers, any Orioles fans you know about this podcast. Our listenership continues to grow, and I have you to thank for that. And also remember, we're here on YouTube. Make sure to subscribe to the Locked On Orioles YouTube page, like and comment on the videos as well. Looking to get these subscribers almost at 400 here on the YouTube page, trying to get there by the end of the month, and going to need your help for that. So even if you're just a usual audio listener and you only consume this podcast via audio, perfectly fine. That's how I consume my podcast. But if you could just jump over to YouTube real quickly, you don't need to make an account. Just hop on and hit that red subscribe button. You don't get any annoying emails. Doesn't change your life at all. Just helps me bring you more and better content here on Locked On Orioles. But again, just want to thank you for making Locked On Orioles your first listen of the day. And for your first podcast listen today, it's another Orioles victory we get to talk about. Orioles 6, Yankees 4 is the final score from Monday night in the Bronx as the O's win the first game of a three-game set. Orioles have now won four of their last five games and now sit with an 18-25 record on the season. That is through 43 games here in 2022. And I'm going to get you the five things you need to know from the Orioles 6-4 win over the Yankees. And the first thing you need to know is really the star of this game is that Jordan Lyles just continues to do his thing on the mound for the Orioles. Signed that one-year, $7 million deal before the lockout, basically to be an innings eater. He was not very good in Texas last year. He threw about 180 innings, but he gave up the most home runs in baseball. Now he's on pace to throw a lot of innings, but he's pitching much better. Final line for Lyles in this one, 6 2/3 innings. He allowed four runs, just three of them earned on five hits. Struck out eight, which tied his season high, equaled his last start, which was last week at home against the Yankees, and walked only two batters, threw a season-high 117 pitches in this one, most by far by any Orioles starter this year. His ERA now sits at 4.10 on the season. Lyles allowed just six hard-hit balls in 6 2/3 innings in this game, and before we dive deeper into the numbers, the most impressive part is what Lyles did in the seventh inning of this game. He gets through the sixth inning. He's at 106 pitches. He's allowed, you know, those four runs, three earned through six innings. And I'm thinking, you know, this is probably it for Lyles in this one. And, you know, he's got 8-9 coming up the next inning, but he's at 106 pitches. Keegan Aiken is warming. Felix Bautista is starting to throw. You're thinking, all right, the Orioles bullpen can manage nine out here. And all of a sudden, he kind of talked his way back into the game from the dugout. He comes back out there. He gets Jose Trevino out. He gets Marwin Gonzalez out. And all of a sudden, there's two outs and nobody on. The order flips over to the top and Anthony Rizzo. And Brandon Hyde comes out. You're thinking, all right, great job, Lyles. You stole two extra outs against the 8 and 9 hitters. Now you go to Felix Bautista. He's ready in the bullpen for Rizzo, Judge, and Stanton. And Lyles talks his way into staying in the game, and Hyde leaves him out there. And, you know, Lyles gets ahead of Rizzo 1-2, throws a good changeup down and away out of the zone, and Anthony Rizzo, just with a classic Anthony Rizzo, choked up on the bat, just kind of reaches out and pokes it into shallow left field for a two-out single. Hyde came right out of the dugout, was not going to let Lyles face Aaron Judge again, who, of course, Judge homered twice against Lyles on the evening, a solo shot in the first and then a two-run shot in the fifth, which tied the game at four at that time. So he wasn't going to let him face Judge a third time, but just to get into that seventh, talk his way into the game, and he didn't get the out. And, you know, Bautista does, and we'll get to that in a second, but just to stay in that game, throw 117 pitches and still be throwing well with nasty stuff in that seventh inning, really, really impressive stuff from Jordan Lyles. So again, threw 117 pitches, and again, he was fairly slider heavy. Now, obviously, when you combine his two fastballs, those were his most used pitches of the day. It was 30 sliders, 30 sinkers, 23 four-seamers, 20 changeups, and 14 curveballs. That's a pretty good, evenly distributed pitch mix from Jordan Lyles. No pitch was thrown more than 26% of the time, especially because his sinker and his four-seamer are distinct enough to call them two different pitches. And he had a season-high 16 whiffs on the season. Now, it helps when you throw 117 pitches to get 16 whiffs, but that's still a big number. Had six on the slider. He had five on the changeup. That was the best I've ever seen Lyles' changeup look in this one. And he just kept going to that nasty sweeping slider that has kind of been the pitch that he has revamped here in 2022. Got some good swings and misses. Got some strikeouts on that pitch. You know, the fastball velocity, not much of a change. Sat right where it's been all year, 91, 92. And you know, we can pump it in up to 93 at times. But he was just hitting the strike zone. He was getting swings and misses. Another impressive start from Jordan Lyles. Second thing you need to know from this one is that Felix Bautista came in for Lyles, and he got some big outs for the Orioles. Brandon Hyde going to Bautista with Rizzo at first and two down in the seventh, with the Orioles leading 5-4. And he was facing Aaron Judge, who had already homered twice off of Lyles in the game. And Bautista got squeezed a little bit in that Judge at-bat, but he walks him on five pitches. And he basically looked like he wanted nothing to do with him. And he seemingly kind of wanted Stanton more than Judge. And I was fine with that because he went right at Stanton. And he strikes him out on a nasty 1-2 slider down and away to get out of the 2-on and 2-out jam and keep the lead. Bautista was fired up. And then he comes right back out there in the eighth inning after getting Stanton. And, you know, he's facing Torres, Connor Falefa, and Hicks, and just sets them all right down 1-2-3 for a scoreless eighth. And it was just a huge four outs from Felix Bautista. And listen, Jorge Lopez got some big outs as well. He came in for the ninth. You know, the O's got him the insurance run on the Chirino sack fly in the top of the ninth to make it a 6-4 game. And then Lopez walks the leadoff guy in Esteban Florial, but he settles down, gets LeMahieu as a pinch hitter to ground out, and then gets Marwin Gonzalez to ground into a double play to end the game. And, you know, a big save for Jorge Lopez as well. But I just thought that out, that strikeout of Stanton, was just so big for Bautista. Big emotion from the big guy. 17 pitches, 10 fastballs, 6 sliders. Surprisingly, just one splitter on the day. And he got two whiffs on the slider, the one big one. Of course, you know, he did hit 100 only once, but he still averaged 99 with the fastball. But, I mean, just some huge outs from the bullpen. O's only needed two relievers because Lyles was so good, and Bautista and Lopez certainly did their jobs. Third thing you need to know from this one is that Ramon Urias may be starting to turn it around for the Orioles. It has not been a good start to the season for Urias, who, you know, came into this game hitting below 220 on the season. Things had not been going well. Now, his expected stats, expected batting average, had still been hovering around 280, 290. So he's been making better contact. But the expected stats, you can't really rely on them too much until closer to the All-Star break, especially this year when the ball seems to be deadened and, you know, the offensive environment is different. You need to wait a while for those expected stats via StatCast to really mean something. So it has been kind of a rough start for Ramon Urias, but he goes 2-for-4 with a walk on Sunday in the Orioles' walk-off win against the Rays. And then he follows it up with a 3-hit day on Monday, hitting out of the 7-hole. He got the start at third. He made a couple of really, really nice defensive plays at third base. And then he goes 3-for-4 with a double, a homer. You know, his home run was the difference in this game, a solo shot out to right field over the Mickey Mouse wall, in right. The solo homer that gave the O's a 5-4 lead in the sixth came off of Garrett Cole as he goes deep. He did strike out one time, but you know, to have a single, double, and a homer, he was a triple shy of the cycle. All three balls were hard-hit balls on the day. He was the only player in this game on either side to have three hard-hit balls in this one. He had a big single in the ninth inning to keep that rally going on a 98-mile-per-hour ball off the bat, a grounder into right field. Of course, he hit the home run. Not that it was smash, but it was 99 miles per hour off the bat, traveled 364 feet. And then, you know, he did strike out in the fourth, but he had the early double as well, which started the rally in the third inning, 97 miles per hour off the bat, a little grounder down the line for a double. And that started the big Oriole rally when they scored four runs in that third inning off of Gerrit Cole. They were trailing 2-0 and took a 4-2 lead at that point. And that really set the tone in the game. You know, you don't see a lot of teams jump on Gerrit Cole for a four-run inning, but the Orioles did that in the third, and it was all kicked off by Ramon Urias. And, you know, with the struggles he's had early and the roster moves the Orioles made, which we'll talk about in a bit, the O's would really, really appreciate Ramon Urias heating up. And now he's got five hits in his last two games, average up to .224 on the season with a .616 OPS. Hopefully this spells better things in the future for Ramon Urias, who has definitely been probably the most disappointing Oriole here this season after his breakout 2021. But hopefully he is breaking out again here in late May. Fourth thing you need to know from this one is that despite an 0-for-4 day, Adley Rutschman looked honestly pretty comfortable against Gerrit Cole. Of course, this was Adley's first ever road game after, you know, playing his first two games at home over the weekend. He gets his second straight start as the DH. Brandon Hyde, you know, talked about they just want to limit his catching innings on back-to-backs and things like that. He said he expects Adley to catch the next two nights, so he should be behind the dish here tonight and on Wednesday as well before the off day on Thursday. But I thought, you know, despite a day which was an 0-for-4, and that's not a day you generally want as a hitter, but he looked comfortable. And, you know, in his first AB, he did strike out against Gerrit Cole. That was his only strikeout of the day, but he ran the count full to 3-2 after going behind 0-2 and just cut through a high fastball. And then, you know, he put the next three balls that he hit in play, didn't end up with a hit, but at the end of the day, you know, he made some solid contact. He put a good swing on a fly ball in the eighth inning that went to the warning track in right field, and obviously short porch, but still hit it 323 feet. He put some good swings on the ball. You know, he did have a pop-up in the sixth inning, but he had a hard hit ball in this one as well. His fly out in the third inning was 96 miles per hour off the bat, traveled 346 feet to center field. So hit the ball pretty well. I thought he had some good at-bats. I think he ran the count to 3-2 every single time against Gerrit Cole, really made Cole work in this game, who, you know, Cole did last eight innings, but he gave up five runs, and the Orioles will take that. And Rutschman was certainly a part of that, just kind of working the count. And again, it was an 0-for-4, but he was facing a top five pitcher in baseball, and he looked comfortable, and that's the big thing right now. You know, he's not going to have these 3-for-4 days. He might, but you're not expecting him to have 3-for-4 games against the likes of Gerrit Cole. But if he can look comfortable and not look overmatched, and even in the strikeout, I do not think he looked overmatched at all. He had some at-bats where he fouled off some good pitches. He fouled off a couple of back-to-back 100-mile-per-hour fastballs at times. I was impressed by, you know, an 0-for-4 day for Adley Rutschman. And the fifth and final thing you need to know is that, you know, the Orioles have had some bad players. Let's put it that way. Since this rebuild began, really after the trade deadline in 2018, since things started getting bad, they've had some bad players come through. Some guys who certainly were not major league talents, who were just in the majors because they were on the Orioles and they needed some bodies. Chris Owings has been a solid major league player at times in his career. I mean, he's a veteran, been around with the Rockies and, you know, most notably the Diamondbacks when he was a starting shortstop there and a starting infielder. He's getting to worst player I've seen in this rebuild territory. It's bad. And we'll get to it later. You know, the Orioles optioned Tyler Nevin. I thought for sure it would be the end of Chris Owings. Instead, he lives on. And he gets the start in this game against Gerrit Cole. And he had had some kind of okay numbers in his career against Cole. Had four or five hits against him. But, you know, of course, he goes 0-for-4 with two strikeouts in the game. He's now 6-for-47 at the plate this year. That is a .128 batting average for Chris Owings. And I get whatever, you know, he's the only quote-unquote true shortstop on the roster. He's played the most innings at shortstop, although Urias and Mateo can play that position. And he started at shortstop. But he makes an egregious error in the second inning on a ball that should have been caught and could have been a double play. Instead, he just drops a throw from Ryan Mountcastle on a grounder, and it leads to the Yankees getting a run in that second inning to go up 2-0. And, you know, good for Owings. He turned it around, and he turned the double play at short to end the game in the ninth inning. But he fumbled a ball one batter earlier in the ninth that could have been a double play off the bat of LeMahieu, and instead just ended up being a force out and kept the tying run come to the plate. So doesn't look like the defense is as good as we thought. He can't hit. He's 6-47 with a million strikeouts, pretty much. I guess I get the positional versatility that he can play everywhere, but man, this is rough. And he's getting into territory of worst player we've seen during the rebuild. But other than that, everything was good tonight for the Orioles. 6-4 win over the Yankees. They've now won 4 out of 5. But the O's roster for this win did look a little different tonight. They called up 3 players, sent down 2 players, and put 1 player on the injured list. Now, none of those 3 pitchers they called up appeared in Monday night's game, but wanted to go over the roster moves, talk about who's up, who's down, what went into these moves for the Orioles, and my thoughts on some of the more interesting ones that they made. We'll start with the guys they added to the roster coming up next. But first, let's talk about betonline.net, the place you can go for all of your sports wagering needs. Of course, you know, you can get all the information you need to place a smart bet on any sport, whether it be Major League Baseball or, of course, the NBA, which the games seem to be blowouts every night here in the Eastern and Western Conference Finals. Of course, Warriors and Mavericks. And then on the other side, you got the Celtics and the Heat. Or you've got NHL games, which have been pretty fun, you know, into the second round there. Or you've even got tennis, French Open starting this week as one of the tennis majors. You've got golf, you know, always going on every weekend. We got NCAA softball and baseball regionals coming up as well. A lot of sports wagering needs. You can get it all at betonline.net. You can check the scores as well. You can listen to podcasts like this one. You can get news. You can get injury news. You can get it all at betonline.net, where the game starts. So the Orioles beat the Yankees 6-4 on Monday night to take game one of a 3-game set, but they were also busy before the game started, making 3 roster moves, something I talked about briefly on Monday's episode, and something I thought that they would really have to do because of the situation they were put in over the weekend. O's played a 13-inning game on Friday, used basically all their pitchers, then used their long man, Mike Bauman, for 3 2/3 innings on Saturday, and then had Spencer Watkins get hit by a line drive, leave the game injured without recording an out as the starting pitcher in the first inning on Sunday, and the O's played 11 innings and somehow cobbled together a bullpen game and a walk-off win against the Rays. It was so impressive. Talked about it on yesterday's episode, but we also talked about how they would most certainly have to make some pitching moves in the bullpen because they didn't really have anybody fresh and ready to go. So I talked about, you know, who potentially could be coming up, but the O's made the moves, and we'll start here with the guys who they added to the roster. Of course, it was 3 pitchers because they needed some fresh arms. Now, kind of thankfully, which will set them up well for the rest of the series, the O's didn't need to use any of these arms Monday night. You know, Jordan Lyles goes 6 2/3. They only used their best 2 relievers, Bautista and Lopez, to secure the win over the Yankees. But the first guy they added to the roster was a guy making his Orioles roster debut in Bo Sulser. Of course, the brother of former Orioles reliever Cole Sulser, who the O's claimed last week off waivers from the Pirates. He had made 4 kind of so-so appearances with Pittsburgh this year, was DFA'd, and the Orioles claimed him on waivers and actually DFA'd Paul Fry when they made that move. Now, Sulser only had time to make 1 appearance in AAA Norfolk before getting the call-up on Monday. It was a 2-inning relief appearance where he allowed a run on 1 hit with a strikeout and no walks. He's kind of got similar stuff to his brother Cole. Actually, we learned today when he was talking to the media, Nathan Ruiz of the Baltimore Sun tweeted this out, that Bo actually taught Cole that kind of split change that became Cole Sulser's elite pitch and the pitch that turned him into a really good reliever for the Orioles before they dealt him to the Marlins. Apparently, Bo Sulser taught Cole Sulser that pitch, and Bo said as soon as he taught it to Cole, Cole picked it up immediately, and almost immediately, Cole's changeup became better than Bo's, which made him kind of upset. But that pitch has originated with Bo Sulser, and you'll see him throw it a lot, and we'll probably see him at some point. He can go multiple innings as well. And the other reason the O's called him up, when they claimed him on waivers, of course, he was on the 40-man roster, so didn't need to make a 40-man move. You could just call him up. I would imagine Sulser, most likely we'll probably see him in one of these games against the Yankees, and if not, definitely this weekend when the Orioles have five games against the Red Sox. But if the O's need to make another roster move, I could really see a Bo Salcer DFA coming unless he's kind of lights out and you know really has to stay on this team. Kind of similar to a Logan Allen where they claimed him, pitched him three or four times, then just DFA'd him. And Logan Allen actually did clear waivers, so he's staying in the organization in AAA. But speaking of Logan's, the second move the Orioles made was to recall right-hander Logan Gillespie. Now, we thought we may not see Logan Gillespie for a while because he, along with Nick Vespi, were optioned back down to AAA Norfolk on Saturday when the Orioles really needed more pitching after Friday's 13-inning game. And because of the new roster rules with pitchers, pitchers that get optioned have to stay down in AAA for 15 days unless a player on the Major League roster is placed on the injured list and they are replacing the injured player. So we thought we wouldn't see Gillespie or Vespi for a while, but because Spencer Watkins was placed on the injured list after getting hit by that liner, which we'll talk about in a bit, the Orioles were able to recall one of those guys. It was basically a choice between Gillespie and Vespi. And although I think Nick Vespi is the better pitcher, Gillespie gives more length. You know, Vespi's basically been a one-inning guy in the minors, although he did pitch two innings in his Major League debut on Friday. But Gillespie has routinely gone two innings or more, and he pitched two innings and an inning and two-thirds in his two previous appearances with the Orioles, did not give up a run in either of those appearances. So to get more length, they went with Gillespie, and I understand why. So he is back in the pen, and we'll probably see him against the Yankees this week. And then the last guy they called up was another righty. It was three righties that they added to the bullpen, and Marcus Duplan is back with the Orioles. And again, all three of these moves were easy because all three guys were already on the 40-man roster, so the O's did not have to make any kind of 40-man moves to get them to the big leagues. Now, Duplan, this is his second stint with the Orioles already this season, came up briefly in April, pitched in one game out of the bullpen when the O's just needed a fresh arm. Back on April 18th, went a third of an inning, allowing one unearned run on two hits, no strikeouts and no walks. You know, Duplan was kind of, he was really up and down when he spent a solid chunk of the year in the majors with the Orioles last year in the second half. Remember, he had a really hot start, then kind of cooled off, then went to the minors again, then came back up and pitched well at the end of the year. Well, he's been lights out in AAA Norfolk, and he definitely earned this promotion to the big leagues. In 11 appearances in Norfolk this year, Duplan has just a 0.71 ERA. He's allowed just one earned run on eight hits over 12 and two-thirds innings this year, 11 strikeouts, the six walks, a little concerning, but the ERA, you can't beat that at 0.71. So he has definitely earned the recall to the big league bullpen. But those are the three guys they called up, Bo Salcer, Logan Gillespie, and Marcus Duplan. None of the righties pitched Monday night, but I'd expect to see at least one, if not more of them, in the Tuesday or Wednesday games coming up against the Yankees. And then we will see, you know, for Bo Salcer, again, could be a future DFA candidate. Hopefully Gillespie sticks around. Obviously the O's like him when they added him to the 40-man roster to protect him from the Rule 5 draft this offseason. And Duplan is kind of a tweener guy. You know, I still want to see more from him, but you know, happy that he will get a chance. I wish they would have called up Vespi over Gillespie, but I get why they wanted more length. I just really want to watch Nick Vespi pitch, to be honest with you. He's so great to watch. That slider is nasty. Can't wait till he can get back to the big leagues. But the O's added three players, which means they had to subtract three players. And it was, you know, one guy who went on the injured list, but two a little bit surprising players were optioned down to AAA. We'll talk about why the O's made those specific moves coming up in just a second. But first, let's talk about Athletic Greens, because this is a product that I and many use every day. I started taking AG1 because I wanted better gut health and I just wanted more energy, specifically for you, the listeners, as I do this podcast 5 days a week. So what is this stuff? With one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. And you know, if you're wondering, well, what are the benefits of AG1? Well, first of all, it's lifestyle friendly. No matter what diet you eat, you can incorporate AG1. It supports better sleep quality and recovery, supports mental clarity and alertness. It's got so many pluses, really, for your body. And it costs you less than $3 a day as well. It's not a super huge investment in AG1. And right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop in a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. And to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/MLB Network. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/MLB Network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. So the Orioles beat the Yankees 6-4 on Monday night, and they take game one of the series. They also made a bunch of roster moves before the game on Monday as well. And we just talked about the guys who they brought up to the big leagues. Three right-handed relievers in Bo Sulcer, Logan Gillespie, and Marcos Duplan. But of course, when you make those moves, it's because you have to send some guys down to the minors or put some guys on the injury list. Let's start with the guy who went on the IL, and that is Spencer Watkins, who really his unfortunate injury is why the Orioles were put in this situation. He starts the game on Sunday, gives up a couple of hits, and then G-Man Choi hits him in the right arm with a line drive comebacker, and Spencer Watkins, after facing just a handful of batters, getting no outs, has to leave Sunday's game, and the Orioles bullpen, already a little depleted, thought they had to get 27 outs. Well, it turns out they played 11 innings. They had to get 33 outs, and they still won that game against the Rays somehow. But, you know, we weren't sure how Watkins was feeling, what happened. X-rays were negative after the game as that ball hit him in the right arm, which was good. But they still felt the need to put him on the injury list. So he goes on the 15-day IL, which means at the least he's going to miss two starts for the Orioles. And because he went on the IL, that's why the O's were able to bring up Logan Gillespie just 2 days after sending him down to AAA. But it does kind of, you know, leave some questions when Spencer Watkins returns, because he's going to miss at least two turns in the rotation. And after a kind of a solid start to the year, he had some new stuff, an improved slider, better velocity on his fastball. It has not really gone well lately for Spencer Watkins. Now through eight starts, and again, a little inflated because he didn't get any outs Sunday and he got three earned runs charged to him. But eight games started, he has a 6.00 ERA in 30 innings. He's allowed 36 hits. He struck out only 14 and walked 15 and allowed five home runs in 30 innings. You know, whenever he gets back, there might not be a rotation spot for him if someone else can kind of scoop up that spot. You know, the Orioles, they will need a starter for Saturday. They have a five-game series in Boston starting Friday through Monday, including a built-in doubleheader on Saturday. They were going to need a starter probably anyway. That now they're definitely at least need one starting pitcher Saturday. And it's going to be interesting who gets that spot. You know, maybe Grayson Rodriguez? Would they want to do a road debut? I don't know. Possibility. I think he probably stays down in AAA for a little longer. Maybe Logan Allen comes up. Maybe Zach Lowther. He hasn't been great in AAA, but he's on the 40-man. Maybe Keegan Aiken gets a chance back in the starting rotation. Or even Dean Kramer, who is making some rehab appearances and is going to make a rehab start in AAA Norfolk on Wednesday night. Maybe they could push somebody back and, you know, push a couple guys forward maybe and try and start Kramer on Monday to try and fill it in. Who really knows? There's a lot of options for the Orioles, obviously, but it could be a bullpen game as well, though. Do you really want to do a bullpen game and a doubleheader? That's not a great idea, especially what has happened to the Orioles recently with their bullpen and everybody being overused because of this Watkins injury. So that'll be interesting to see, but his spot could be really up for grabs because he's been pitching poorly and he's going to be out for a couple of starts. But that was the one we kind of saw coming. The other two moves were a little interesting. The first one, they optioned Mike Baumann back down to AAA. Now, he had been called up on Saturday to help the Orioles bullpen, and he really did. He pitched in long relief in the loss on Saturday. The O's only had to use one reliever. It was him because he threw 3 2/3, allowing just one run out of the bullpen in Saturday night's loss, and that was huge. But, you know, he threw 51 pitches, and he definitely wasn't available Sunday, and he wasn't available Monday. And after that, you just need to get more pitchers in. And it was kind of a bad spot for Baumann where, you know, if Watkins doesn't get hurt Sunday and he throws five innings, Mike Baumann can probably stay up and pitch again Tuesday or Wednesday. But because you needed a long man after what happened Sunday and Baumann was not ready yet after 50-plus pitches Saturday, the Orioles were kind of handcuffed into optioning him. Just kind of stinks for Baumann. Again, he'll have to stay down for another 15 days. Just another tough spot for him. Hopefully when he comes up again in a couple weeks, he can finally stick with the Orioles. But the last move was the one that I really, really didn't understand. And that was the Orioles optioning Tyler Nevin back down to AAA. Now, Nevin had kind of a slow start offensively since Theo's, you know, called him up, but he'd been 7 for his last 19 in his last 5 games, and overall in the year, 19 games, 72 plate appearances, .222 average, .306 on base, a home run, 7 RBIs, just the 6 walks to 17 strikeouts, been a little concerning, but at the end of the day, you know, he plays first, he plays third, he can play left and right field, got a good batter's eye, and really starting to heat up at the plate as well, starting to hit the ball a lot harder over the last week. And now he was not in the lineup and didn't appear at all in the 11-inning game on Sunday, but I just figured, no, obviously I love Tyler Nevin. I've made a note on this podcast. I really like him as a player for the Orioles. I just don't get the optioning of Nevin. I mean, the argument that I've seen has been, you know, with Mountcastle back, with Mancini, there's really no innings at first base. And because Odor is hitting so well right now, which he is, he's on an 8-game hitting streak, had another hit Monday night. Odor has kind of locked down second. So with Mateo at short, you've really got Urias at third. And with the whole outfield crowded, you know, where does Nevin play? Because DH is taken up too most of the time, especially now with Adley here. I get all that, but also Nevin's been playing better than Urias. He's hitting better than Mateo. You know, he's still better than Odor, maybe. I know Odor's been hot, but I just want to see Nevin get those at-bats. And at the end of the day, yeah, maybe if he's on this team in this role with Mountcastle healthy, he's not playing every day. And I get that he would play every single day, and he will play every day at AAA Norfolk. But why is Nevin not on the team, and why is Chris Owings still on the team? I know I talked about it at the top of the pod because he had another bad night on Monday. But just because, you know, theoretically Owings would have gotten DFA'd and Tyler Nevin slides into his roster spot doesn't mean he has to play the same role as Chris Owings, which is starting 2 days a week and barely playing. He can play more than Chris Owings. Just because he's replacing him on the roster doesn't mean that he has to play the exact same role. I get that Owings plays more positions. I get that he can play center and he can play shortstop and second base, which Nevin can't. But he made a big error at shortstop on Monday night. Almost cost the Orioles the game a couple of times. He can't hit at all, and Nevin can. Just seems like the easy move to DFA Chris Owings out of there. I get he's the utility guy, but Mateo and Urias play multiple positions, and you've got some versatile guys, and Nevin is versatile as well, and Mateo and Urias can play shortstop. You don't need Owings too. I'm upset about Tyler Nevin, and the hitter rule is a little shorter than the pitcher rule, but he still does have to stay in AAA for 10 days before he can be recalled, unless, of course, there's an injury, and then he could replace a guy going to the IL. But 10 days without Nevin is going to stink. I love watching him play. I hope he's back up as soon as possible. Again, it was kind of a numbers game, and because he had options left, he was one of the guys who could be easily optioned to get, you know, some fresh arms into the bullpen. I get it, but just I don't agree with it. I don't understand. I get the argument, but I don't agree with the argument is a better way to say it, that Owings should be on this team over Nevin. Even if Nevin's not getting everyday at-bats, he should be on this team over Chris Owings. It's plain and simple. Give me the better baseball player on the 26-man roster. That is Tyler Nevin, and hopefully he's back in the big leagues soon. But even without Nevin, Orioles got the 6-4 win over the Yankees on Monday night. And they'll go for the series here tonight in Game 2 in New York. Orioles and Yankees, a 7:05 start from Yankee Stadium on Masson. Zios can take this series and try to make it 5 wins out of 6 games. Bruce Zimmerman is heading to the hill for the Orioles. The lefty has an ERA that's creeping up a little bit. It's now at 3.48 through 8 starts. Of course, we saw Bruce pitch against the Yankees last week at Camden Yards, and they hit him around a little bit. 5 runs on 7 hits over 5 innings, just 2 Ks and 1 walk. But he'll go against Jordan Montgomery, the lefty who has a 3.35 ERA in 8 starts. And he also pitched against the O's in his last start last week at Camden Yards. They dueled in that same game on the 19th. 5 innings, 3 runs, 7 hits, 3 Ks, and no walks. Montgomery versus Zimmerman tonight. Then we'll be back here on the podcast with you tomorrow, breaking down Game 2 between the Orioles and the Yankees. I'll get you the 5 things you need to know. Then we'll look at some minor league moves that the Orioles made, because they made a lot of minor league promotions, including some pretty big names moving up the ladder on Monday. It also included some guys who have been injured getting back to extended spring training and getting closer to getting on the field in the system. A lot of exciting minor league news, and we'll get to it on tomorrow's episode. But until then, I'm Connor Newcomb, and this has been the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team. Yeah.